What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. So I got to give you the odds here of the next team, if it's not the Green Bay Packers, for Aaron Rodgers. Because Rodgers just signed that contract extension. This year has gone just horribly for Green Bay. You got reports about Jordan Love that if he's not given assurance that he's going to be the guy next year, that he's going to want to be out of town. So now you're in a point where we've been for the last 2 years. Do you keep Rodgers or do you go to Jordan Love? And I think this time, out of all the other years, Hickey, this is the most complicated because you're not coming off an MVP season like he's done the last 2 years. And not only that, you're seeing not only him, but the entire team this year took a massive step back. But with that still being said, you don't know what Jordan Love is, and you want to give Rodgers the benefit of the doubt because he deserves that benefit of the doubt. But even if Rodgers comes back and plays great football next year, it doesn't automatically mean, boom, the Green Bay Packers are in a Super Bowl. Because the last 3 years, he's played really good football. 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, excluding this year. And they lost to the NFC title game. They lost to the NFC title game again. And then lost in the divisional round. I ultimately think this isn't really a Packers decision, Ryan. The way that I would word it is I think this is an Aaron Rodgers decision. Because if you're the Packers, and I know you could talk to me about post-Drew 1, dead cap, and I don't want to get into the old nitty-gritty. But when you signed Aaron Rodgers, you expected him at least, even though the contract is more than a year, to be your guy for the next year. So this is not anything new in terms of, oh, from last offseason to this offseason, now we have to make a decision if we want Aaron Rodgers on the team next year. Now, I get it. It's a different kind of feel than it was when you signed the deal because the team stunk. But I would then challenge the organization, as we have, and would say, well, who does he really have around him? Aaron Jones good. A.J. Dillon good. Christian Watson starting to get really hot as of late and start to get comfortable in this league. But other than that, it's not as if you have a receiver that you're saying, whoo, this is impressive. So if I'm Brian Gutekunst this offseason, I would keep Aaron Rodgers. I would not entertain trading Aaron Rodgers if he wants to be there. And I would, I don't know, for the first time in forever, use your resources via trade or free agency to get whoever the guy is on the market or who becomes available via trade. And since you re-sign Rodgers, go all in for one last time. But since they've never gone all in to begin with, I can't say that I expect this offseason to be any different than what it's been. Now, could Odell Beckham be there next year? Maybe, but what is he going to be after missing a full season? Could you go trade for a wide receiver like how last year if A.J. Brown became available? Yeah, I'm sure someone will become available. But whenever you expect the Packers to do something, they make these hope moves like, oh, Jimmy Graham, and we're hoping he could be this great player. Devin Funchess, we're hoping he could stay healthy. That's what they always do. Sammy Watkins, oh yeah, we're hoping he could be this really good player. you got to go get me a known commodity and not someone that was good years ago, but someone that was good this year. And that's what you need to go get for Aaron Rodgers next year. But it can change the conversation if, and this is a big if, Aaron Rodgers says, I know I just signed the deal, but I'm time to I want to reset. I don't want to retire, but I want to reset and I want to leave Lambeau. I want to see what life is outside of Green Bay in the NFL. And if that's the case, Rye, I think then you have to trade him because then he doesn't want to be there and then the decision is practically made for you. But this offseason, if it's up to the Packers, I still think their preference should and will be to keep Aaron Rodgers because, yes, you drafted Jordan Love. It's easy to admit, okay, you got a pick wrong or we don't need to see that pick and then trade whatever you could get back for Jordan Love and I don't know what the return that would be, then, yeah, I'm just going to totally throw away Aaron Rodgers.
My thing is if you're not going to go all in with the pieces around him, what's the point of keeping him? You talked about it like, oh, like they should go, like, let's just say for argument's sake, a player of DK Metcalf's caliber was on the mark. He's not going to be.
No, he won't. Last year, I thought he was going to be. I thought for sure.
But someone has,
I actually said that on the radio, and people were writing about it. There were articles written, oh, Zach Gelb thinks DK Metcalf's going to get traded. Oh, yeah, we were talking about it. When Pete Carroll was up at the podium and said, yeah, we don't intend to trade DK Metcalf, I said it.
Similar to we don't intend to trade Russell Wilson. I've got the exact wording, but it was something very similar.
Uh-huh.
But like I don't trust the Packers. If there's a wide receiver available this offseason to make a move, so you went all in with the quarterback. But if you're not going to go all in on the moves around him, what are you doing? You're stuck in the middle. You know, you're stuck in the middle. So,
do you think Jordan Love's going to be any good?
I have no idea. Probably not. But I'd also like to see more than just a half or a quarter or mop up duty.
So it's so weird because how many times we all salivate over a guy in the first round and we're like, oh, you got to have that guy, and then the guy stinks. Not many people wanted Jordan Love. So I wonder, maybe the Packers knew something that we didn't know, but then also, don't you got to know, and can't you see signs, even if they're not in the game, that that guy can be the guy? Now, in the game against the Eagles, was it Darius Slay?
I think it was Darius Slay, yes,
right?
Sir.
Who came out afterwards and was like, oh, yo, that guy's going to be unbelievable. So maybe there's ways to see things that you and I aren't going to be able to see. But I would think that guy's now been in the facility for 3 years, Jordan Love. And I know he's not been giving a lot of opportunities to play in games, but you got to have an idea if he could be the guy by now. Just in terms of the way he conducts himself in the locker room, and what you see out of practice. Now, it doesn't always translate. But if there are still, I don't know, we're skeptical, and if the decision's up to you, then I would keep Aaron Rodgers. So let's just say, let's entertain a game here. And let's just say that Aaron Rodgers goes to Brian Gutekunst and says, I want out, I'm done with this marriage. There's your out, okay. If he doesn't want to be here, we're not going to beg you to be here. We'll then go to Jordan Love and get whatever we could get back for Aaron Rodgers, if that's 2 first-round picks, whatever the deal would be. These odds that you gave me today, go through team by team and give me the number, and I'll tell you if I'm Aaron Rodgers, if I would be interested in joining that team.
Just like we all suspect, the odds leader to land Aaron Rodgers if he is not on the Packers next year is the Indianapolis Colts.
Are they really?
+350.
Now, is this sports book the hot take kicky sports book?
This is not my sports book. I would be broke if I had my own sports book. So these are not the hot take kicky odds.
Well, no, you wouldn't be broke. Because
I would be broke.
No. The book always wins. Even you would be able to win if you owned your own sports book. Because remember, as many takes that you give that are wrong and how I give are wrong as well, there's people that always go to give those takes in terms of giving you money. And thinking, oh, yeah, I don't agree with that line or I agree with that line. And then, boom, usually you lose more than you win. So you'd be fine. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would not want to go to the Colts. If the Colts came to me and said, we want you to join the team, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm saying, why? Like, what do you have to offer? That offensive line, which we thought used to be really good, has been horrendous. You have Jonathan Taylor. Michael Pittman's solid. He's good. But other than that, you don't have much. Like, defensively, they got a good defense. But on offense, I don't think they have the offense that's ready to go in terms of if Rodgers looking to go win a Super Bowl. Now, you play in an easy division, but we thought the NFC North was an easy division this year. Would you be in on, if this offseason, we get breaking news from Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Pelissero, Glazer, whoever it is. Aaron Rodgers traded to the Colts. You'd probably be happy, right?
I'd be hesitant, I think.
Wow.
I do not want Aaron Rodgers.
Wait, what?
He's going to be what, 39? Is 39 going to be 40? Whatever he is, he's high 30s. He's going to be there for probably 2 years. The Colts are not a quarterback away, I think, from truly competing for a Super Bowl. Now, they're a quarterback away, I think, from winning the division. But again, that gap, they're not closing the gap. The gap will be closed, but they're still not level on the Chiefs, the Bills, maybe even the Bengals. So I want an answer, an actual answer, long term. Not another 2 year Band-Aid at the quarterback position.
Okay. I think that's a fair explanation.
With a lot of draft, what do you think you have to give up? Any team that trades for him, what are you giving up for Aaron Rodgers? That's another thing, too.
Bare minimum, like at the absolute bare minimum, a first round pick.
I would agree.
Maybe two. Like maybe it's a first and a conditional because you're right. It's because of the age. And you would think if you believe you're a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl, which you don't think you are, and I'm glad you could acknowledge that. If I'm a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl, I would give up two first round picks for him.
Are you nervous how this year has gone that he's on the decline?
I don't. That's a good question. I would say no. I would still think he could be MVP level next year, but you were asking him to win early in the season with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's a tough conundrum
and
because
also
you're
remember,
right.
Remember, you had injuries on the offensive line with Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari.
Cast around him on offense is not very good outside of the running backs.
I would still think Rodgers could go play two or three more elite years.
So you can still get, for the most part, 2020, 2021 version.
Now, you made a good argument for your football team, but it was funny to me, and that's why I was like Kobe White saying, wow, because you have advocated for Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, but Aaron Rodgers, no, that's a no for me, dog.
Do you know what that means? The Colts are going to trade for him, and they're going to win the Super Bowl next year because I was out on him, and he's going to come in and be the savior, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those quarterbacks are scary the way I thought, I'll be honest. All right. So if not Colts.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Outside of Bryce Young, you can't get Bryce Young. Let's just say that because that's the guy you want. Who's the guy that you want to be in your building next year if you're the Indianapolis Colts, quarterback-wise?
Trey Lance.
Okay.
And if not Trey Lance, I would say Hendon Hooker in the second or third round.
What would you have to give up to get Trey Lance? If you're the 49ers, I don't trade him unless I'm getting back a first. You got to at least recoup one of those first round
Colts
picks.
Are, I think, picking seven. Let's just say that's their pick. Seven for Trey Lance. Get a top 10 pick. I don't believe, right, this is the last draft that they don't have a first round pick in, right?
The Niners?
Yeah. It was two, so it was 2021 season, 2022 season.
Well, they gave up three first round picks, but that deal was made 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it would be this year. Because they made it before the draft, so you lost one that year.
Right.
You swapped, that year.
So you can get a top 10 pick for Trey Lance.
And that's you're going to Brady, I would assume, after that?
You would think. So that's obviously, it's also, there's a lot of moving parts there.
Okay. I think that'd be a good start of framework. I don't know, man.
Hendon Hooker, I'm also intrigued in.
Trey Lance, a big question mark to me.
Oh, he is. But so are all these other guys, Richardson, Levis.
What about C.J. Stroud?
C.J. Stroud. I don't like a guy who plays his worst football in the big moments.
Okay.
And it's tough defenses. Michigan, even for Penn State for three quarters, did not play well.
Well, you like Peyton Manning.
He won a Super Bowl. Greatest all-time regular season. Wow. The second one,
Yeah.
He won, yes.
Yeah.
A little further away from the heart.
Yeah. He statistically was not good in that playoff run.
Got the ring.
I'm just arguing to argue to be a jackass. All right.
So if Aaron Rodgers is not going to the Colts.
If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would say no to the Colts.
No to the Colts. How about the second favorite, according to Odds Checker, Commanders at +400?
Yeah. Dan Snyder's going to be out of there probably sooner rather than later. I made a Photoshop, or Kat made a Photoshop for us last year, of Aaron Rodgers in a Commanders uniform. Well, at the time, I don't think we knew they were the Commanders. Maybe it was the Washington football team, but whatever. They've improved that offensive line. Gibson and Brian Robinson Jr. are two good young backs. You got Jahan Dotson, obviously scary Terry McLaurin, and you got a defense that's pretty young. I think the Commanders would be, I said it last year, I'll say it again, I think they are a good destination.
Does your answer change if Dan Snyder, by this point next year, does not sell the team?
If I'm Rodgers, I don't think Rodgers cares. I don't. I think Rodgers thinks he's so above everyone, he doesn't care if Dan Snyder's running the team or not.
Brett Favre, now indirectly, right, he had to go to the Jets, then to the Vikings, did play in division, play a rival. Could we see Aaron Rodgers go to an in-division rival, the Lions?
And remember, because it's the same thing, TJ Hockenson got traded in division.
That's true. The NFC North does not mind swapping their own players.
I don't see. If I'm Rodgers, I would actually entertain the Lions, but I don't think the Packers would ever trade him in division. The Lions actually have a young, fun roster. With Jameson Williams, you got Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift. He knows Jamal Williams there. You got Penei Sewell up front on the offensive line. Defensively, Aiden Hutchinson's been a stud. Seven sacks in year one and two picks. Actually, they got a good roster, but there's no way the Packers would trade him in division.
Fourth best odds to land Aaron Rodgers if he's not in Green Bay next year. It's a tie at plus 550 between the Jets and the Saints. Either one of those tickle your fancy if you're Aaron Rodgers.
Saints, absolutely not. The Jets, yes. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Elijah Moore. You're going to be getting Breece Hall back. You got some young pieces on that offensive line. Elijah Vera Tucker when he comes back. And defensively, you have one of the best defenses in the league. I know the Jets had that stigma of, oh, it's the Jets. But it does seem like they are a quarterback away from doing some damage in the NFL.
Panthers are next at plus 650.
No. You have a good defense. Other than DJ Moore, you don't really have much on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that they're a few years away. I know they can make the playoffs this year, I guess, because of this division, even though it's going to be Tampa. But no, I don't think the Panthers.
Three more teams to round out the odds here. The next betting favorite to land Aaron Rodgers, if it's not in Green Bay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at plus 1,000.
So that would mean Brady would be gonzo, obviously.
Or we have a quarterback competition.
Yeah, imagine.
That'd be a great Hard Knocks team to focus on, that's for sure.
You got Mike Evans there. You got Chris Godwin. Line is not good. Defense, you got some players, but Todd, I would say yeah, because you have a roster that isn't great, but it's solid enough. So I would be fine with Tampa, and then you'd just be swapping out one great quarterback for another.
Giants are next at plus 1,200.
No. What do you have? I know that they have an improved spot here with Daboll and with Joe Shane, but you don't know if Saquon Barkley is going to be back, and can you rely on him to stay healthy? You got nothing in the receiving game, so I would be out on the Giants.
And finally, the ninth team most likely to get Aaron Rodgers is not in Green Bay is the Atlanta Falcons at plus 1,600.
No. No, not Atlanta. I know that their offensive line is solid. You got Kyle Pitts coming off the injury.
Cordell Patterson, the kick return master.
Yeah, Cordell Patterson's really good. And I like Drake London, too. But no, that team's not close to winning. They're not close to winning. So if I'm Rodgers, I would say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Okay. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, have you seen this thing on Twitter of people posting today a graphic of who checks out your Twitter profile the most? Have you seen that, what I guess is now starting to become a trend in the good old cesspool of Twitter?
I have not today seen that.
Okay. Well, I just elected to take the test during the break.
Okay.
Which is just entering your Twitter handle, which is mine.
And that's a test?
I just entered yours as well. It says that this is your account. Yes, okay, that's me. So I'm getting your results right now. And
this is who I view the most, or this is who views me the most?
The ads who visit your profile the most.
Ooh.
I'm not going to lie here. Maybe it's a loading problem on my software. It lists 9 people for you, and the ads are just blank.
That's not good.
Now, I'm going to assume, I don't think that is no one's going to your profile, Hickey. I just think that is more so something's not loading on my computer because I got my results, but I did so on my phone. So to be fair, I will now try this on my phone for you, and I will see if it does change up anything when it comes to it happening on the phone. So let's just try this one more time. @Ryan_Hickey3, and we will take the test. Yes, I will say that's me when it's not me. So there's no fraud alert here, you know. Oh, here we go. Oh. Wow. I like your list, Hickey.
So this is... Oh, and what's the time frame, by the
no
way?
No clue.
They just say this is who visits you the most. It could be today. It could be this week. It could be this month, this year.
You actually have a pretty good list. And I'm surprised I'm not number one. I will say that.
Yeah, that's also true. I figure you dig up a lot of my tweets.
I'm in the top 9. All right. I'll give you some hints for me. Number 9. Former talk show host at 1250 The Fan.
Wait, are you saying for you? I saw your list.
Oh, you did?
Well, you just tweeted out, and I was looking to see how you do it.
Come on!
So I'm sorry. Sparky Pfeiffer, Spike, WFN's number 1.
Jeez!
Actually, I don't want to ruin it for you.
So, yeah, my list was 9, Gary Ellerson. 8, Spike Eskin, our boss, which is good to have in the 9. That means the boss is actually listening. 7, how about Andrew Bogish from The Morning Show? 6, Ryan Horvat from BetQL. 5, Kevin Nagandi from SportsCenter. 4, Temple Football. 3, Sparky from 1250 The Fan. 2, Temple University Basketball. And 1, WFAN. So, that's the 10. Now, for you, I have your list. You think you can guess your 9?
No idea. No. Well, I don't think I could guess 1. Well, 2, because I know you are one of them.
I am one of them. All right, ready? Number 9. Works for our company. Is very good on social media. Very tech savvy.
Andrew Kaplan.
Yes.
Is he going on my profile?
8. You should just say thank you.
Thank you, Cap.
8. I could say this because I'm loud, but a very loud radio host. In this building.
Very loud radio host.
Very loud radio host in this building.
Pat Boyle?
Pat Boyle is in your top 9. He's at 6, but that wasn't the hint. Come on, like, in the Monday through Friday lineup.
Very loud?
Very loud. Down the hall.
Down the hall. Very loud.
Down the hall. Very loud. This isn't that difficult here. Come on, this isn't life
or death. Sal Licata.
Yes, there we go. 7. part of the management team here at CBS Sports Radio.
Pipilotti.
Mm-hmm. Six, you got Boyle. Five, you'll never get. DA on CBS Quotes. Which live tweets at DA Show. Four, your favorite radio host in this building. That's your hint.
Zach Gelb.
Ah, there we go. Three.
Sweating on that one.
Yeah. You would have got that one wrong. Fired. Three, this guy likes to poke fun at you a lot.
I mean, that's, I feel like line up. I mean, is it
in the
10
business.
People?
Jay in the Berman. Business. In the business.
Jay Berman.
Works for our company.
Likes to, Stu Kovacs.
No.
Anthony Gallo.
No. People that people would actually know.
Ken Carmen.
No, not Ken. Not Ken, I'm surprised not on your top nine.
Pokes fun. Sean Marash?
No, Maraz is not. This is someone that you made plans with and then once canceled on him.
Bill Ryder.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He does take up a lot of my tweets now.
Two, this guy is a big fan of me and clearly a big fan of you. Radio host.
I'm sensing sarcasm.
No, big fan of you. Big fan of me. I recently filled in on his podcast and worked alongside with him.
Andrew Filippone.
Mm-hmm. And then number one, maybe the biggest pot stirrer in this building.
Anthony Gallo.
No.
Tom Izzo.
Yes. Izzo's your number one fan?
Wow.
855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Nolan in Indianapolis next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Nolan, what's shaking?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great. What do you got for me?
I'm kind of siding with Hickey on not wanting a stale Aaron Rodgers to come to Indy. I mean, it might be nice for him to, like, come in-person co-host with Pat McAfee so they can, like, do the book club together and play popcorn with, like,
you know what, Nolan?
Mayweather.
That is a great point that I didn't even think about. McAfee would, and I think McAfee may have moved studios, but I don't know if he's still in Indianapolis or not, but we always know that's his backyard.
Yeah, his studio's still in town.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's an appeal. That could be a big recruiting pitch. Maybe McAfee, and I love Pat. We'll see him at the Super Bowl. Maybe he needs to start pitching Rodgers on Indy.
But I think that's the problem is the recruiting pitch would be like, hey, let's smoke a bowl, homie, you know? Read, like, War and Peace. Like, no, I mean, I'm not really in. And I like Aaron Rodgers. I like the podcast. And, like, I'm a personal acquaintance with Pat McAfee, but I don't
want. Oh, are you?
I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be our quarterback.
So
here's
why. Nolan, you and McAfee are buddies?
No. I'm not that delusional. We just used to frequent a bar that I'm not going to name.
Okay. Gotcha.
But, yeah, so here's my plan. You know, here's my, you know, moonshot that'll never happen. So, like George Lucas, you know, these stories have to be like a space opera. It has to rhyme, all right? So we wait a couple years, build a foundation for the long term.
Let me guess.
Marvin
Harrison
Jr.
And Arch Manning.
Arch Manning.
Ugh, let me vomit right now, Nolan. If I need to see Manning and Harrison again in Indianapolis, ugh.
Dude, reconstruct the RCA Dome and pipe in some crowd noise, man.
At least you admit it. Wait for Brady's kid to maybe start playing. Then I'd be down for that. Nolan, heck of a phone call. Do appreciate that. Hickey, I'm surprised you didn't start that delusional take yet. Get Harrison's kid and go get Arch Manning in there. Who is that? Cooper's kid, right? I'm pretty sure.
That is Cooper's son.
Yeah. And you could have Jack Stern be the play-by-play guy and call him Mark Manning. That's what we could do.
Mark for Ark.
Ay, ay, ay. Let's go to Lou in Rochester, New York, next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Lou?
Hi, guys. Based on the small sample size this year, it seems that Lance struggled the first two games, and the 49ers had to have a failsafe by recruiting Garoppolo again. And what Love showed in that fourth quarter was actually pretty impressive. Out of the two, it seems like Love is way better as a quarterback.
Well, if you're going to base that off of just one quarter, okay. But you could also then throw it back and say, well, Trey Lance was a third overall pick and Love was 20-something. So obviously there's a more thought of Trey Lance than Jordan Love. Now, just because you get drafted early doesn't mean you end up being better.
Well, athletically, Love was pretty impressive. He impressed Darius Slay. He was spot on with, like, his throws. He actually got the Packers back into the game some late in that game, and Lance was unable to do any of that.
Well, you barely saw Trey Lance this year. Sweet Lou, appreciate the phone call. He played in a monsoon up against Chicago, and then the second week of the season got knocked out of the game. So if I'm making my evaluations, Hickey, off of a quarter from Jordan Love, and then Trey Lance got what, a game and a half? What are we doing here?
I love it. Nothing could go wrong with those small sample sizes extrapolating out.
I don't usually like to say I don't know, but I don't know what either of those guys are going to be. I was skeptical on both coming when they were coming out of college.
According to Lou, the Packers will never punt again with Jordan Love, and he will probably be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Sweet Lou.
Let's go.
I love the phone call. Love Sweet Lou in Rochester, New York. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, it's going down. It's going down on Christmas Eve, Eagles and Cowboys. And Hickey, this just got picked up in intensity. You knew that was going to be an intense matchup because Philadelphia is trying to bury the Cowboys, right? Philadelphia already in the playoffs. They only have one loss on the year, already beat Dallas, but beat Dallas without Dak Prescott. You kind of bury them in the NFC East. And maybe they even end up clinching that night. Who knows? And then for Dallas, it's a moment of opportunity where you could say, yeah, the game that we lost, we didn't have our guy in Dak Prescott. And I can't wait for that game. 4:25 p.m. Eastern on Christmas Eve, Eagles and Cowboys. What do you think the early spread is on that game? I have it in front of me. If you want to get a little early play in on that game, what do you think the early spread is right now on Eagles and Cowboys on Christmas Eve, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time? That's Saturday afternoon.
I will say Eagles minus 2.
Wrong.
Eagles minus 4.
Nope.
Cowboys minus 2.
Nope.
Cowboys minus 1.
Yes. How do you not right now go bet the Eagles? If I'm getting points at any time this season with the Eagles, don't you got to take them? Now, it's only a point, so it's basically a pick 'em, but if right now Philadelphia is a better team. They've shown up in the big moments. And Dallas, I know it's one game, but last week they didn't play that great up against the Texans. Almost lost the game. Now, do I think Dallas is as bad as they played last week? No, but I think Dallas, you could have a debate as to the second or third best team in the NFC. Personally, right now, I would put the 49ers 2, Eagles 1, and then would throw the Cowboys in there at number 3. Is that how you would rank them right now? Right? Aren't those have to be the 3 best teams in the NFC? You can't really throw anyone else in their conversation.
No. Yeah, you can't.
Because the Vikings got blown out by both the Eagles and the Cowboys.
And their defense is by far the worst unit of any of those 3 teams we just discussed.
Yeah, and I know you were trying to push Tampa Bay a few weeks ago. I think we can now push Tampa Bay off to the side.
Tampa, yeah. That's at least on the top 3 discussion, without a doubt. They are.
And I was really upset when you started to hype up Tampa Bay.
Well, I'll tell you this. Come play out. Well, we'll see how the last month folds out.
Oh, stop.
I am not burying Tom Brady just yet. I'm not putting him in the old home yet.
Well, no, I still think Tom Brady could be a really good quarterback in this league. I think he'd be a great quarterback still. Not with that team, though. Here's what you guys don't get. And I've been saying this, and I know a lot of people have been saying this. You are kind of mind you know what bleeped by Brady because of how much he's dominated you for years. When Brady doesn't play well, or when Brady starts to look like he's declining, it's not actually declining. It's because the offensive line stinks. People said it in 2019. Oh, he's starting to fall off the cliff. Starting to catch up with him. Went to Tampa, improved the offensive line, won a Super Bowl. That line the last year in New England was horrible. Whenever Brady loses, the line is bad. And that line this year is abysmal in Tampa Bay. But anyway. We probably didn't need any extra drama for this Eagles-Cowboys game coming up next week, next Saturday. But we got it today. Because Micah Parsons, and I don't know if it comes off as bad as the way that he meant it. Like, I don't think he meant any ill harm here. But it didn't make him look good today when he was on the Voncast, Von Miller's podcast. And Micah Parsons questions if Jalen Hurts is getting too much credit for the Eagles' success.
We look at the Eagles, is it Hurts or the team?
I think it's a little bit of both, man. I think
it's system and team. I just love the game so much, and I understand it so much that, like, I can't. I when things are off, I just can't, like, hold it in. Like, I almost got to say something. Like,
yeah, you're right. They got a great team, great defense.
But everyone has their own opinions, like.
But they got – so Jalen Hurts is –
He's good.
Yeah, obviously he's good. Now, I don't, Hickey, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you think he's saying there, yeah, it's Jalen Hurts is not the reason they're doing well. It's more so the team than Jalen Hurts.
I think so.
You do?
The second part of it where it's like, I watch a lot of football when I got to see something and I can't hold it in. I think he's seen the narratives. He's seen the betting odds. I think this was recorded this week. You saw the betting odds, I'm sure, changed to where Jalen Hurts is number one
MVP
on MVP.
Favorite now.
I think that's part of the reason why this is coming out now, because Hurts is really starting to get the love the last 2-3 weeks. I think he's starting to say he's not as good as people are pumping him up to be.
So I think he's clearly going down that road. But when you hear him go, I think it's Hurts, then I think it's the team, I think it's both, I don't think he meant it the way that people are going to take it and run with it. But that's on you because you left that open for interpretation when there was really no reason to even go down that road. Because people say, oh, he was asked a question. A lot of times athletes get asked a question and give you nothing. And here's another part about this. If I was doing the interview, you know what my follow-up would be? Well, do you think the Cowboys' success is more the team or do you think it's Dak Prescott? Isn't that the answer for Micah Parsons, Hickey? Fascinating there. Because if you're Micah Parsons, you can't throw your quarterback underneath the bus. But then if you don't say the team, then you're taking away your importance to the team with what he's been able to. I just would have wondered how he would have handled it. Because there's sometimes you comment on things and you comment on other people's situations, so it's easier. But then when you have to comment on your own situation, it's like, oh, what I said about the other team could also line up with my situation as well.
I mean, obviously, the easiest thing for him is that this is not a discussion with Dak Prescott, so you don't have to really worry about fielding those questions, and it's easier for you to say.
But that's what I'm saying. Both. That should have been the follow up. Like, if that's the follow up, I wonder how he answers that.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe both. Like, it's, I think you can, I think you could wheeze your way out of it. If Dak's great, team's great, good combination so far, we're all clicking.
But then that, does that create a big reaction? No. So then why did you go down that road with Jalen Hurts and kind of lean people the way that, yeah, that Jalen Hurts fella?
I think he wants people to know that maybe he's getting too much credit.
You know what that sounded like? Well, that's stupid then on his part. There's no reason to give that extra bulletin board material. I know that dude is a freak and he's a great player in Micah Parsons and he could dominate and kick ass on any given Sunday, or in this case, the game's going to be on Saturday. You get the point. But that seemed very drama Dallas Cowboys-esque. He probably got a raise in his contract today from Jerry Jones.
His problem is he can have a great game and they could still lose a game. That's his problem. When you kind of take a shot at the entire Hurts, as long as the Eagles win, it doesn't really matter what Hurts does.
Yeah.
See, he got three. Parsons has three sacks and himself played great.
Doesn't matter.
Dak, right, struggles, throws a pick or two, and they lose the game 23-17. Doesn't matter how well you played.
But how do you view Jalen Hurts?
I think for me, it's right now more the team than Hurts. Which, again, I don't think is a bad thing. I would take that on my team. But if you're saying what is the driving force, is it a great team or a great quarterback, I would say it's a great team.
Okay, so you think you could put any quarterback in there and they'd be getting the results?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay,
I think Jalen Hurts fits the scheme perfectly.
I think the mentality that Jalen Hurts, like, people forget, outside of Brandon Graham, and even as much as I love Brandon Graham, the biggest leader on that team is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the leader of that team. He's the heartbeat of that team. And any young quarterback needs to, or any quarterback needs to be in a successful situation to be successful. Look at Brady right now. Like, no offensive line, they can't do anything. You put Brady on the Eagles, could they have one loss? Yeah, absolutely. For Jalen Hurts, I think what they did was they invested in him, and he showed some signs last year, but they invested in him this offseason and clearly upgraded that team, and he's taken and run with it. You know, we saw it in Buffalo, too. They went out and got Stephon Diggs, but it's also in the quarterback to be able to get the ball out. And we've seen Stephon Diggs, who at the time, now is all viewed as a great player. There were questions if he's number one wide receiver. He goes, plays with Josh Allen. It works the other way, too. Josh Allen made him a great wide receiver. Stephon Diggs made Josh Allen a great quarterback. I think you're seeing the same thing with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown in that relationship. We all knew A.J. Brown was great. Bringing in A.J. Brown made Jalen Hurts a better quarterback, but Jalen Hurts still getting the ball to A.J. Brown. He still got to make the throws. So it's kind of always a stupid argument that we get into, and people like to use, the system, the system, the system. Any great quarterback is a system quarterback. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't go somewhere else and have success. You saw it with Brady. Brady, not a lot of people, but there were some idiots on Twitter. I was like, oh, he's a system quarterback. The only benefits from Belichick. Then leaves, goes to Tampa, first year, wins the Super Bowl. So you could replicate what you're doing in other spots, but every team, this is a team sport. We talk about it as just the coach and the quarterback. But the way I view Jalen Hurts, I think he's a great player. I do. I think he's a franchise quarterback. And if you build the right team around him, you can win a lot of games with him. But that goes for any quarterback. So it's kind of a stupid conversation, but don't get me twisted here. Don't get it wrong. When it's worded the way that it sounds that Micah Parsons did, that game there was going to be no love lost anyway between those two teams, but now it picks it up in intensity. Real quick, let's hear Jordan Mailata respond to this. This is the Eagles' left tackle.
Yeah, I'm going to worry about the Chicago Bears this week, man. Worry about this game. Michael should worry about his game this week, too. So I don't know who the fuck they're playing, but part of my language, I mean, just worry about what you got this week. That's how we do it here. I'm not going to worry about any other comments anybody said. That's just how we focus and run about our business. You got the Chicago Bears, not the Chicago Michael Parsons.
So you put the flames out if you're Jordan Mailata. You can think around the auto parts or your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. An excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. When we come on back, where is Sean Payton going to be going to next? And could there be two other big-time name coaches on the move this offseason? One NFL insider says it's possible. We'll get into all that when the Zach Gilb Show returns in 5 minutes.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.